Welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. This is your host, Brandon Marshall Havener. On this episode, I will be sharing a live stream from my program, Rebel Flow, exclusive content. And it's going to be great. And in this episode, I talk about vulnerability, how it can be play as a strength and weakness, a conversation that I saw going on around relationships and how I feel that falls into polarity in relationships, but also how people relate to marketing. So I really think this is going to be something that you'll love to hear. And before we get started, and before I start playing this live stream, I want to talk about things going on in my world. So if you haven't noticed on Instagram, things have changed up for me for the better and the worst. It feels like a fresh beginning because I'm creating a new Brandon Marshall Havener account. So the new account is brandon.marshall.havener. And I'm keeping my primary account, but I changed that to basically the podcast, Sorry I Offended You. So it's going to look a little bit different. There's some overlap between two accounts. The motivation behind this is that I got shadow banned on the primary account, which is now Sorry I Offended You, over some really dumb shit. So I got shadow banned over a news article that was actually true, but somehow the fact checkers made it partially false and thought it was a big deal to penalize me. Like, hey, I'm just the messenger here. I didn't write the fucking article. It looked true. It was sort of true. I shared it. And then it was a story. It was an Instagram story. And even after that Instagram story came and left, they penalized me? That doesn't make sense. Like, the story was no longer circulating in my Instagram. But you go back to my old stories I posted and look to penalize me. It's like, it just seems petty, man. It just seems petty. It's not cool, Instagram. You shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, I decided to make a clean account, the most PG-13 that I can, as Brandon Marshall Havener, meaning I still cuss and all that stuff. It's just I'm not going to try to post too many news articles on Brandon.MarshallHavener. That's more my personal Brandon.MarshallHavener account, .Marshall.Havener, .. That's going to be more kind of like my spiritual teachings and my coaching side and my insights, more philosophy that steps out of politics. And then Sorry I Offended You is going to be more of the hard-hitting political stuff and current events and societal stuff and all that stuff. So it's a little two different parts of me. There's going to be a lot of overlap between the two Instagram accounts, but I just wanted to update you all on that. If you want to support me, what would be appreciated is if you go out of your way and search for either or account, Brandon.Marshall.Havener or the Sorry I Offended You tag, and just show some love, show some engagement, send me emojis in my stories, reactivate, lift me from the shadow bands, and one day I will rise again. But you know, I'm just seeing the gold in it all. I see it as a new opportunity, and it's really getting me to be creative with my audience growth. So it's all good. I feel like challenges like this, it's just an opportunity to step into my power even more, and see what I can do. And you know, it's like giving it a fresh beginning, so to say. Another thing that I wanted to announce is that my program, Fuck Cancel Culture, is now a digital program available for you. This is the go-to spot if you have fears around cancel culture. Something that I've noticed as of lately, that entrepreneurs at every level have this fear of critics and people ganging up on them, and these tense situations online, from high earners to beginners. This is a crucial program for you that can really help you stand in your own. Regardless if you have like 100K followers or if you got 1K followers or 100 followers, this will help you address those fears so you can show up powerfully. Some really good content in there. Honestly, it's like the price of a masterclass, but there's like four masterclasses within the program. And there's like a bunch of bonuses, and it's like the go-to space if you need to equip yourself to face criticism online and cancel culture. So there's Katie barking. That's my cue. Without further ado, stay tuned for the live show that's coming after this. If you notice, this mic is a new mic. Hopefully you notice that the quality has gotten better. But now we're going to go into a live stream. So the quality of my voice won't be nice, but the quality of the content will be beautiful. All right, let's go. Welcome. Today's live is not brought to you by anything, but I do have an alien cup of coffee here. So that's nice. It's interesting. It's like one of my favorite cups, but sometimes it like the shape of it. It spills coffee sometimes. So anyway, let's get this going. Today I wanted to talk about vulnerability being a strength or a weakness. And the reason why I was inspired to talk about that is because this is a confusion that I see with a lot of people online when it comes to marketing and showing up, being authentic. And also, this perception goes into cancel culture as well. You know, how you hold your own when you are facing, got my blanket here, when you are facing ridicule and you're facing challenging opinions, or you're in the spotlight and people are challenging you. So there's a lot of things that go on here, and it's the overall relationship that you have with your audience and your messaging. And how you carry yourself in life, really, it's really connected to all areas of life in a way, and how you carry yourself. And the reason why I say that, or a good example of why I say that, is because I found this interesting Twitter thread. And this is what kind of led to me talking about this in a way. But I see this, you know, I see similar behavior and similar confusion in the coaching space or the service provider space, entrepreneur space, whatever you want to say. So the question that came up, or the statement that came up was, men always make the mistake in dating by opening up. And then I saw another woman disagree. And she said that she disagreed with that statement because she's happy that her man has opened up. And I was looking at the statement and I was like, well, I'm not closed off in my relationship. I don't hide behind armor. I'm open about what goes on in my world, and I'm authentic in the relationship with Rebecca. So I was thinking about it, and seeing the conversation of the woman that disagreed, and I weighed in on this conversation. And in this conversation, what I realized, or what I noticed in this conversation, is that when a man isn't confident and his life is falling apart and he's almost emotionally dumping on a woman to almost like try to fix things, or it just seems like he's barely getting by and he doesn't have his shit together, then the woman will lose respect for that man or feel burdened by that man, and the attraction won't be there. However, on the other side of things, if you have a confident man who seems to have things, like at least has, not perfect, but has his shit together, and he's leading himself, and everything, he knows how to lead himself. He knows how to lead the situations. He knows how to set up the dates, all that stuff. And then he opens up a bit and lets her see what's beyond the armor, and lets her see who he is, but in a way that he's still confident and he can still keep his sense of humor, then that will make the attraction grow
between those two people in a dating situation. Now, why is that? Because vulnerability and opening up is not weakness. And if used in the right way, it is strength. But what if we separated vulnerability and opening up from weakness or strength and actually thought of it as, if you add vulnerability with strength and being solid and doing it in a way, in a noble way of actually taking an emotional risk, but you are carrying yourself through it, versus vulnerability paired with weakness, as in being a damsel and being like, please help me. There's a big difference between that. And just like the dating situation, as I say a lot, is dating and marketing often have things in common. You know, there's so many commonalities, because in a sense with marketing, you are courting your clients in a certain way. You're leading them in a certain way. You build that masculine container that they can trust. And when I say masculine and feminine, I'm not necessarily saying the difference between genders, because when you're marketing and you're doing business, you'll notice yourself flowing in and out of both the feminine and the masculine energy. But often when I think about containers and being solid and grounded and having that, you know, the aspect of being able to hold the energy, that's like a masculine way. And women are greater at doing this. Men are greater doing this. So like, but it's just showing that like the masculine is sort of like that consistent container. These are the guidelines, and laying down the groundwork for that container. So when you have that solid container, then people can trust you. And the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to marketing or, you know, showing up online is that they confuse, when they hear be vulnerable, they confuse that with sort of using other people as an emotional sponge that they can collapse on. But if you're collapsing onto your audience and they feel like they have to hold you, you're making a different exchange. You know, I often use the comparison between, you know, are you depositing energy, or, you know, money, energetic money into your audience, or are you withdrawing energy? Do they feel like they're receiving value? And do they feel like they're thriving more by listening to you and hearing you and seeing you? Or do they feel more drained after they come among your posts? And that's something to consider. Not to say that it has to be perfect to the T every single time, but it's something to consider to know what necessarily is going on. Because there's a difference between someone who is vulnerable and says something that happened in their life or maybe a little still present in their life. Okay, am I back? Someone called and I didn't know how to deal with it. I accidentally, like, damn telemarketers. But anyway, I'm going to wait till they stop calling just in case it paused my live stream. Okay, I'm back. Hopefully I'm back. But something to keep mindful of, there's a difference between someone who has experienced their vulnerability, has processed it, and has a full picture and shares it, versus somebody who hasn't processed their vulnerability and is still in the mode of like, this is my diary. Well, like, you know, it's nothing wrong with being artistic, but like, this is my diary and please come carry me. Like, there's a difference between somebody who puts on the perception like, hey, they got this handled, and they show up in business and they show up strong. And even on the bad days, they show up. And it seems like they have it together, and then they show a little chink in their armor where it's like, you know what? Sometimes I have bad days. You know, I know you follow me and you admire my content, but sometimes I have bad days, and sometimes I'm not always the happiest, but I still show up. There's a difference between that and someone who every single day they show up like, oh, life is so hard and please, please help me. And it's like you're constantly asking the audience for help. And not to make one thing good or bad, but you have to have perspective of like, hey, am I running a business? Am I leading people? Or do I want to use social media as something where, you know, I'm more of like just looking for help from people. And if you want to run a business, then you're showing up where you're delivering value and people are walking away from your social media feeling some type of fulfillment, some type of accomplishment that they can walk away from your social media and even apply some of the things that you taught into their life, even for free. Now, I'm all about that. Now, people have different formulas and things of that nature, but I'm all about giving people powerful insights and value that they can improve their lives for free. And then if they join my programs, they get a different experience. Maybe they get a deeper experience. Maybe they get experience with community. I know some people teach differently to hide all your best content or don't give any of your content and make them join your program or whatever. People have different blueprints. But the reason why I go by my blueprint is because it feels abundant to me. It feels like I'm not, and it feels to me, it's not about information to me. Because we live in the information age. You can go and Google whatever the hell you want and figure some stuff out. You can find some of the things that I teach through, you know, if you Googled it enough or, you know, whatever. You know, information is out there, right? You can buy a book and learn information. The benefit of being in a live experience with me, and the same as being in a live experience with you, or even making that investment, is that energetic connection and that energetic up level, and that specific custom tailored information that you need, that may be harder to search, or you know, it has that signature information in the way that you need, in the signature blueprint that you need, rather than just taking any old blueprint and applying it. You know, the level of mindset work that's needed, the level of energetic work that's needed for those results that's provided in that program. So that's why I never really worry about hiding content under a vault, because I'm a constant channel. The information is consistently flowing through. There's always something more. Like, I want people to go to my podcast and feel like, wow, like this really helped me. Like, I want them to be able to go to the podcast and feel like a reason to keep coming back, whether it's they're laughing, getting amazing insights, applying stuff on their in their day-to-day life. But anyway, I digress. There's different approaches there. I just want to share my approach and why I do it. And in my experience, when I had any bit of scarcity around content or trying to hide content behind a paywall, or trying to be very logical or linear with it, like there's nothing wrong with having a paywall. There's nothing wrong with having a membership. There's nothing wrong with having a program. But when I had to compartmentalize that, where it's like, oh, I better hold this content for the paywall, then it put me in scarcity mode. What if I gave my best content for free? And then that challenged, or not challenged, but put myself in momentum when even deeper and deeper content started coming through. Instead of me worrying about sharing the best content for free, I share what's best on my mind right now, and I channel more of what's coming through in the program. So it wasn't ever me hiding things back, but it's me being on a roll, and it's like, oh, more insights, and I can go deeper on this topic that I talked about, and I can go deeper on that topic that I talked about, rather than hoarding it. And when you're not hoarding it, you're in that abundant flow, and you know, everything feels natural, and everything in your life starts happening naturally and flowing instead of like you clogging up the hose, right? You're not clogging it up. You're not holding it back. You're not stagnating your own momentum, you continue to let the flow of life flow through you. So I digress there. I kind of went into a different topic there. But back to the vulnerability is, or the whole vulnerability thing and authenticity thing is, being authentic doesn't mean sharing absolutely everything going on in your life and being a complete, like, it's one thing to be an open book to the sense that you feel like you're not going to be ashamed of your human experience and you have nothing to hide and nothing to prove. But on that end of things, it's kind of the opposite of having nothing to hide, nothing to prove, if you feel like you have to prove everything with how vulnerable you can be. If you had to prove that you're vulnerable and you had to prove that you're authentic by sharing everything, by not having that intention and saying, you know, what's intentional to the message and to the message I want to put out to the world right now, to the value that I want to give to the world. What's intentional? What's important now? And if you really dial it in and you ask yourself, like, yeah, what is important for me to share right now to my audience? What would be helpful for them? Then you start to understand, okay, this is what I need to, this is what I am depositing. This is the value that I'm depositing to my audience, rather than worrying about, like, how do I be as vulnerable as possible? Because if I'm vulnerable as possible, they'll trust me. No, they'll trust you when you're open to them, but also you are grounded in your power. They'll trust you when you are regulating your emotions and when you are receiving the support that you need, even if that means supporting yourself through mindset work, and you're showing up where you can be trusted to lead. Because it's not just being an open book and being like, hey, this is everything. This is everything. Sometimes I trip and fall. I don't know. Sometimes I trip and fall down the stairs. I'm bad with the examples. What's a vulnerable story? Sometimes I randomly bark in the grocery store and I feel so much shame and I need people to comment to comfort me. Like, then people are thinking, like, damn, this person randomly barks in the grocery store. I'm not mad at them for randomly making sounds, animal sounds in the grocery store, but the fact that they need me to comfort them, how do I trust them enough to pay them to lead me if I'm comforting them right now? So it's like, it's being open, but showing that you're leading yourself. You know, the different thing is like, hey, I randomly make animal noises and I moo at people in grocery stores and I felt shame about that. But then I realize this is who I am and it's legal to make animal sounds in grocery stores. And you know what? I'm not going to be walking in that shame anymore. And I realize that I'm a powerful person and that helps me be authentic to make random animal noises at people in grocery stores. And I learned to find a sense of humor about it. See, there's a difference between being confidently leading and being like, hey, you know, I do this shit and I'm leading myself through this, then, oh, I'm making animal noises in grocery stores, please help. I don't know what's wrong with me and my life is in shambles. So yeah. You know, like I've coached when I had issues in my life. I've coached myself through a breakup and coached others when I was experiencing that. Even like the day after of like shit going on in my life. I've coached when my finances were in ruin and, you know, experiencing bankruptcy and all this type of stuff. And the thing is, it's not that I necessarily hid it. You know, there were times where it was appropriate to be open about it, but never did I show up in a way of like, hey, I'm lost and I don't know what I'm doing. I always led. I always like, hey, this is what I have in front of me right now, but I'm going to carry myself and lead myself through this. So it wasn't the challenge that I was going through that was wrong per se, not to make this a right or wrong, but just using that kind of language to explain it, like wrong as in not being in alignment to your highest power of creating the business that you desire. I wasn't necessarily wrong for going through those challenges. But if I were going through those challenges and then I just fell apart in front of my whole audience, not saying that's wrong, but if I fell apart in front of my whole audience, would it be fair for me to expect them to expect me to pay me and lead them? No, because they're picking me up. And I've heard, you know, I've heard stories, you know, I've had clients come to me sometimes where it's like, yeah, my last coach in the middle of the coaching, it's like they had issues going on. And then I felt like I was coaching them. And that's exactly what I want to pinpoint. You never want to be the person, you know, you never want to be the person that's supposed to lead somebody, but instead they end up coaching you. Instead, you're leaning on them. Like, they paid you and you're leaning on them. And the same thing goes for your free community and how you're showing up. Make sure that you can lead them. And make sure that you take the time for yourself to handle whatever you need to handle. We're all humans. None of us are perfect. None of us have everything going exactly right in our lives. The difference is do you handle what you need to handle on your own terms before it comes to showing up? Another thing that's been coming up that I've been sharing a lot lately is that Abraham Lincoln quote. And I believe the quote was, let me see what the quote was actually. It was about chopping down a tree, but I want to get the quote right for once. Chopping tree quote. So if I only had an hour to chop down a tree, I would spend the first 45 minutes sharpening my axe. What are you doing to sharpen your axe? Because a lot of times we're conditioned into thinking it's a practical action that's going to lead us to where we need to go. But what are you doing to sharpen your axe? Because it's a 45 minutes of you sharpening your axe that is going to make the action that you take much more inspired, much more intentional, and much more impactful. And that's the same thing that comes when it comes to showing up online and being vulnerable or whatever. It's like, did you sharpen your axe before you shared that story about yourself? Were you prepared to lead in how you're writing and how you're performing? Or are you just showing up and saying, hey, like, I'm going to throw all the shit that I have at everybody. And it's like, whatever. Some of it's good. Some of it's bad. Some of it's like, you know, putting people down, whatever. It's like, I see so many people that don't sharpen their axe first, that don't regulate their own nervous system first. And not saying that every time it's perfect, not saying that you're going to show up on every call perfectly, that's not saying that you're going to show up every single time perfectly, and not to inflame perfectionist identity by any means. But are you prioritizing sharpening your axe? Because that's the biggest trick. That's the biggest thing that you got to realize, because we're in a world where you see so much about strategy, you see so much of what you need to do, and we're in a society that's all about doing and doing and doing and doing, and all the practical work. And we live in a society where we learned about the 40-hour work week and 8 hours a day or more. So we're used to, and we see so much struggling and so much working by force rather than power. But when it comes to being a leader and running your own business and doing your own thing and personally interacting with clients, you need to sharpen that axe. And something that I learned that, you know, sometimes I had to get through my hard head, because again, we're so conditioned with working, 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 is that I get to spend more time sharpening my axe. I get to spend more time doing energetic work. I get to spend more time journaling my intentions. Where am I going? Where am I leading myself to? What are my intentions? What am I feeding my mind with before I show up? Am I grounded before I show up on a call or a video? Do I need to meditate first? Do I need to calm my thoughts? Do I need to move my body? You know, you got to think about all those things. And when you do that, then the action becomes easier. And I'll even add, if there is this fear of showing up, and this fear of showing up in a new way. Maybe it's going on a live stream. Maybe it's sharing an opinion that you're afraid to share. When you sharpen your axe first and you do that journaling work and you meditate and you take time to move your body, you'll notice more and more that you'll be pulled towards it. Not to say that it's always going to be perfect, not to say that there will be no fear whatsoever, but more often you'll be pulled towards it. You know, this example that, this real life example that I got from this experience that can also be used in showing up is this retreat I was at in the Grand Canyon. And I'm not sure if I shared it in here before. I probably did. Who knows? I share the same story. I'm just going to share the same stories for the rest of my life. But I was at the Grand Canyon. It was a retreat, coaching retreat. And I was challenged to climb up this rock, you know, these rocks and all that stuff. And it was slippery. And it was like, I didn't want to do it, but I did. And then I got on the edge and I'm about to take this big jump into the water. But my nervous system was freaking out like that. You know, I don't fuck with heights. I'm good to fly. I'm fine. I'm not like one of those people scared of planes or whatever. But heights, like being on the edge of a cliff or something, it just shocks my system. So my system was shocked and I was like, fuck, can I climb back down? Am I going to I do not want to make this jump, but it looked a little difficult to climb back down. I probably create more difficulties trying to climb back down. So my only option was to jump off that cliff into the water. And at first I was scared and I was shaking and all these thoughts were going through my head where it's like, what if I jump and I slip and I crack my head open? And probably some of that, those thoughts are probably came from concerned parents or concerned adults. You know, I probably ran around as a kid like a maniac and I probably had adults tell me, what if you crack your head open? You know, maybe that's where it's from. But I was worried and I was fearful and I was like, I can't be, I don't know if I can jump this. I don't want to do it. And it felt like impossible. Like I can't, there's no way I'm moving. I was like, my back was against the wall and I was like not having it. And then I was advised by my coaches at the time to do some deep breathing, close my eyes and say the affirmation that I am safe. And maybe there was another affirmation involved in it. But the point is, it's the difference between fear and excitement is breath. And using that affirmation was affirming like, okay, I'm safe. I'm safe. Like this is all in my mind. You know, some of these are irrational fears. Like it was probably a low chance of me actually slipping and cracking my head. I didn't have to clear that much room. But my mind was trying to protect myself. And as I breathed and I did that, and as soon as the oxygen flowed through and I was in my body instead of my head, it was almost like it pulled me. Like I just jumped, like I did, not even thinking about it. Like, no shit, I'll jump. No big deal. And that right there, it led me to jumping. And then I landed in the water and all was good. Now, the thing to realize about this is that one, when you get into your body, you'll be more pulled to take that action. Two, you'll realize that most of the fear is the action of taking that chance more than actually doing the thing and then, you know, landing, right? So every action that you take that is risky in your business is like taking that jump. But once you do that, once you pull yourself into that, then that fear starts to dissolve. Because all the fear was in the anticipation and the unknown. So this is my call to you, is to whenever you have that fearful action to take, take that time to move into your body and ease your mind and add breath into the equation and then do that thing that you were going to do. After you take that leap, you'll notice the fear start to leave your body. And then if it's something like on Facebook, making a Facebook post or something of that nature, take the time after you do it not to involve yourself in the back and forth of the worrying of what people think and how people will respond, and allow yourself to walk away from that for a moment and just nurture yourself and be with you and let you know that you're safe and that you are with you and you're going to stand, you're going to be there for you. You're not going to abandon yourself. So moral of the story here is vulnerability isn't always connected with confidence or weakness. It really depends on how you show up. Are you depositing value or are you withdrawing value? Are you being intentional or are you using strangers as therapy? Free therapy, that is. And not to make it a right or wrong, but what do you want to create? Because essentially making money in business and online business is essentially exchanging value and providing value and receiving money for that value. So are you providing that value? And of course there's more to it, like, you know, getting your message down and what results you're going to give. But the basics is providing that value and giving people a reason to keep coming back to where they feel like they're receiving something with your self-expression. Thank you for listening. This is Brandon Marshall Havener signing out. And until next time. I don't know why the fuck I say this is Brandon Marshall Havener signing out. You know who I am. Anyway, bye.